Oh, they're sweaty. Weird. I got two hand occupiers. This one doesn't click, and that one does. So we'll put that over there. It's good to be up front, sort of. I don't mind coming up front and telling jokes and stuff. It's a little different when I thought I had something the Lord laid on my heart, and he did. God doesn't make mistakes. People do. But you've heard some of my story in the last couple weeks, and I'll share that today. But the title, Contentment. What is it? And I kind of want to unpack that a little bit today. It is personal. Because what makes me content, what I allow myself to be content with, looks different to each person. So I can't have Tom be contented with what I have and vice versa. Or I don't really want Tom to judge me for what I do or don't have. So I won't judge Tom either. After I had my accident, Aaron Stoltz, who's one of my really good friends, sent me a song that he had recorded. Aaron is Susan's brother-in-law. And you guys know him. He was here for our Valentine's Supper. He wrote this song and recorded it. And I appreciate Aaron. He's a deep thinker. And I just want to play this song here at the beginning. It helped me immensely. And I think we'll probably play it again at the end. But go ahead, John. Technology when it doesn't work. Just let it go. That's the title of the song, Let It Go. It's okay. Just gonna let it go. That's the whole gist of the song, and I don't have it memorized, so I'm not gonna give it to you that way, but one of the lines that Aaron wrote in there is, God can change the future from the past. I don't have to live in the past. Life and circumstances can change fast. My job and my identity that I enjoyed, it's a small thing compared to what other people have suffered. To me, I lost a job. To others, it's much deeper than that. And that's what this song was talking about. But losing a loved one or losing a relationship or something that just is not fair at all. I think, Paul, you alluded to that last week. Just life ain't fair. And that song just meant a lot to me. And at some point, maybe we can get Aaron to come sing for us. But just let it go. I can't change what happened in the past. And I don't want my little short story this morning to make it feel like my pain or suffering was anything to compare to what you guys or so what we have suffered to. All of us are on different levels, and it hurts when something doesn't go the way we had hoped it would. Am I content? Am I satisfied? How much stuff will make me content? What's it take? I want to read from 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verses 5 to 10. Backing up to verse, it's false teachers and contentment. So if I jump in the middle of the section, here we go. And constant friction among, I'm going to back all the way up to, it's the verse 3. If anyone teaches different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up and with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrow, with many pangs. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I looked at that verse a while back, and I thought, there's the answer. If I have some contentment and godliness, here comes my great gain. That's what we're after. More stuff. When I was working with Walnut Creek, this is where I started with my thought of contentment. I enjoyed my routes, and I drove every week about the same route. And there's a place over by Quincy or Camden. I had hoped to take a picture of it and show you guys. The house, it's not that old of a house, probably built in the early 90s. Kind of set off the road on the right side. It's up on a hill. And it has a full-length porch. I think it might have been a modular house, like about 80 feet long. And then the guy put a three-car garage on the end of it. So it's a tremendously long house with a wide covered porch the entire length of the house and the garage. But there's, you can't see the front door because the stuff on the porch is about chest high and kind of runs all the way off the porch and down across the lawn out to the 14 wrecked cars that are out there. And you can't see into his garage. The one running vehicle is just off the road because there's stuff everywhere. There's stuff. Is that how you're content? Is that what makes you content? As you've got things, and I think it's called hoarding, actually. I had to ask myself, those who didn't care about their stuff and what they have, are they happy? Are they happy with what they've got? I mean, it's all over the front yard. Everybody can see it. I saw, too, from my window, some really nice places. Really old houses that are just well taken care of. Rural communities. Some of these guys had really nice barns. Really pretty tractors. Some of them were green. Some of them were red. Some broken down ones were blue. Who's more happy? Obviously, you can't tell by just driving by. The more stuff we have, the more stuff we need to take care of the stuff we have. And the more stuff we have, the more we need to take care of it. It just kind of gets bigger and bigger. I know. Let's make a rule. We're good at that. I often make rules for things that annoy me. So, here's a rule. You need to share with me, make it all fair. We like to have the same amount of stuff. So now, I don't have as much dirt as Tom does, Tom Miller. And my tractor's not as big. I have a 216 John Deere lawn tractor. And I think Leon's green one's a little bigger than that. So let's just make it fair. Does that work? No, it doesn't work. It's called communism or socialism. It never works. You can't just take from one and give it to me so I'm happy. So how do I feel? So how do I find contentment and happiness? Godliness with contentment is great gain. So here I go. If I have my godliness with my contentment, I win. Back on May 2nd, when I had my accident, for those of you who don't know, I drove for Walnut Creek Foods, and I was distracted, looked down, and my truck, I drove off the edge of the road, I ended up flipping the truck on its side. I felt really stupid because I had just ruined $300,000 worth of equipment. My boss came from Holmes County and picked me up, took me back out to the shop, and we got another spare truck, and I ended up running my route, started to, came back to Fort Wayne Tuesday night after I had that wreck. I just felt awful. Some of you guys were having a rap party for Kids Club, and I wanted to be there for that. And my family came down. We had supper together. I had to stay for a week because my electronic log wouldn't let me drive any farther than that. So that's where I had to stay. Anyway, Rachel came down and the family. I was alive, and I should be happy, but I was pretty messed up, like I am now. And that's when Aaron sent me that song. One of the lines is, here I am laying awake at night, wondering what. Just let it go. What can I gain from holding on to the pain? And there again, it's just my job. God spoke to me that night. It's not what I do. It's how I act. God loves us no matter where we're at. I didn't know what was going to happen on Tuesday. Wednesday, I ran the rest of my route. I came home Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I was driving again, heading up north, and I got a phone call saying, Greg, we're not sure if we can keep you. And I didn't know what to do with that. That made my Thursday kind of a rotten day. I didn't know what to tell my customers. I never saw those guys again. Gave them their stuff, and I'm not coming back. Friday, I went to Chicago, picked up Benton Harbor, picked up a load, and Friday afternoon, Rachel and I went out to Bryan, Ohio, where the wrecked truck was, and we cleaned all the stuff out of it. And I still didn't know for sure then if I had a job or not, and we were on our way home, just about home, and I got a call from Jeremiah saying that he was coming to get my truck on Monday. And that's when I knew I had trouble. That Sunday we had, that Saturday the youth had sold donuts. So there were extra donuts here on Sunday morning. And we came and just talking with some people over donuts. I guess it was Nelson and Ellen we were talking to. And just crying because I felt so stupid. And that's when Ellen said, well, hey, check with Daryl. Check with Gary. You might be able to find a job. And after that, I got another job offer. Tim said, hey, you want to come down and work for me? So here I am on Sunday, and my church is already blessing me like crazy. I didn't know what I was going to do. Somebody gave me a check. Makes life, I didn't have to worry about mortgage payment or coming up because I lost some income. So they came and got my truck. And Monday afternoon, I went ahead and had an interview with Tim and Kelly. They took a lot of time. I wasn't sure that's what I wanted to do. And by Friday of that week, I had another job offer, and a couple other people were praying, and you guys were praying. Thank you for that. It was hard to be content. What was I going to do? Went to graduation open house up there for Jordan and a couple people, and I talked to Gary. Gary came back to me that night, just a week ago, and felt that I could ride with him. So I did. So I found a job. Now it's local. It's fast-paced. It's early mornings. It stinks. I get to drive garbage truck now. And yes, Paul, I am the dummy on the back. It's actually kind of fun. If you've never got to ride on the back of a garbage truck driving through town, it's fun. Except the stuff beside you doesn't smell very nice. Just note to those of you who are serviced by Nestle's, if you don't want me to see it, bag it. Because we get to see it all. My short tenure with Nestle so far, we get to see a lot of different places, obviously. We come through town, through Sturgis, service some really junky apartments, lots of businesses. And there's some really high-end houses. The people that have all the lots of stuff, lots of that junky house I talked to you about, for some reason, those guys have lots and lots of trash. And I don't know why. I'm going to have to develop another thought on this one, but it seems like the people that have a nice house don't have a whole lot of trash to throw out. I think it's something along the way, when you earn something or you're content with what you have, you keep it, you don't just throw it out. When I had my accident, all this idea of being content because I had a good job, I enjoyed what I did, I really did. The whole idea of what looked like contentment to me got dumped on its head. A little bit like I did. I wasn't wearing my seatbelt, and I ended up sitting on the passenger window when the truck stopped moving. I want to read another passage out of Matthew. Matthew 7, starting at verse 7. Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you who has a son asks him for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatsoever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. That's verse 12, kind of breaks into another thought there. We can ask, and God will provide. It might not be exactly what we had in mind. I don't know if I intended to drive a garbage truck. But it's interesting. God provided. And verse 12 of Matthew 7, the golden rule, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do it to them also. It's sometimes easier said than done. But if I'm willing to treat others the way I want to be treated, life does go better. While I'm working through this stuff in my life, trying to figure out what is contentment. I have a couple songs on my playlist. I'm so blessed. It's an older song. I'm so blessed. If I have breath, I'm blessed. And then also another song with Katie Nicholl and Big Daddy Weave is, God is in this story. God is in the details. He's working. So now how do I find contentment? It's not in what I've seen as people who have lots of stuff that they don't really want to take care of, or it's not in these super nice houses that other people take care of. Oh, a note with that, those really nice places that I would see driving along, you hardly ever see people outside enjoying what they have. In contrast with those that have junk laying all over the place, there's often people out playing in their junk. They're doing stuff with what little they have. When I can't find the definition that I want to find, I just ask the Google. And the Google throws out a lot of fun stuff. I looked up contentment the other day and was scrolling down through it, and I read the article, and it sounded nice about just resting in yourself and being aware of things around you, and it sounded so nice and peaceful. And then I realized that the article title on the bottom was Tiny Buddha. It was Buddhist. The idea of contentment. And okay, that's not where I wanted to go with that sermon. I really don't want to go some Eastern religion on this one. So last night I asked Google again about contentment. And then I tagged with that biblical contentment. Because you can't find the word contentment real often in the scriptures. And then it led me to an article by Crown Financial, Larry Burkett. This is actually kind of old, but I want to read this. It really brought home to me some stuff that I wanted to bring out. One of the great mysteries of Christianity is contentment. At least one must presume it's a mystery, because so few people live it. Yet contentment is not something that's found. It's an attitude. There are many people. Okay, I missed something here. There are many people who seemingly have little or no regard for material possessions. They accept poverty as a normal living condition, and their major concern is where they will sleep and what they will eat that day. In contrast, are the affluent, who have the best of our society at their disposal. Their houses, their summer cottages, their winter chalets, their automobiles are the envy of the community. Does either scenario bring contentment? No. If money can't buy contentment and poverty doesn't provide it, what is contentment and how is it attained? Contentment, contrary to popular opinion, does not mean being satisfied where you are. That is the definition of contentment, being satisfied where you are. Rather, it is knowing God's plan for your life, having a conviction to live it, and believing that God's peace is greater than the world's problems. Let me read that again. Contentment is knowing God's plan for your life, having a conviction to live it, and believing that God's peace is greater than the world's problems. That idea of peace, that inner peace that only God can give, the stuff doesn't matter. When I lost my job and realized that I'm not sure what's going to happen, what really mattered most is what can I take out of this world? Nothing. You've never seen a hearse pulling a trailer. I can't take it with me. I can take my soul goes and my family if I've served them well. So often Christians get so involved in the day-to-day activities of earning a living and raising a family that they forget their real purpose in life, to serve God. They discover that their lives are out of balance and don't know how to bring that balance back into balance. So they buy more things or get rid of things in order to bring back the balance. However, nothing seems to work. Christians get trapped into a discontented life by adapting worldly goals, more, bigger, and best. The Bible identifies these as indulgence, greed, pride. For a while after accepting Christ as Savior, there is a peace and a real willingness and desire to commit everything to God. After a while, there is a tendency to fall back into the same old routine of desiring and getting more, rationalizing that somehow it is serving the Lord. The evidence to the contrary is a lack of peace, a lack of spiritual growth, and a growing doubt about God's ability to provide. In today's society, it's not normal to step down. Once a certain level of income, spending, and lifestyle is attained, most will go into debt in order to maintain that level. Stepping down to an affordable level is considered a failure. Yet contentment can't be achieved without personal discipline and staying within the lifestyle parameters God has established based on His provisions. In poverty, the issue is usually black and white. You either have it or you don't. In affluence, the deception is much more subtle because anxieties and worries are not usually related to the lack of things, but rather to the loss of things. In essence, most affluent Christians fear they might lose the material things they have unless they are so detached from the goods that they must be willing to lose them and won't find real contentment. This does not necessarily mean that you have to surrender all the material possessions. It means being willing to do so. God's plan for contentment. Although many scriptures teach about the dangers of material riches, God's word does not teach that poverty is God's alternative. God wants us to understand that money is a tool to be used in accomplishing His plan through us. If we are to find true contentment, we must establish some basic guidelines. Establish reasonable standards of living. It's important to develop a lifestyle based on conviction, not circumstance. God will assign Christians to every economic level. That one's a little hard for Craig. God will assign Christians to every economic level. There will be people that have more than I do, and that's okay. There's lots of Christians who don't have what I have, and I need to be generous and gracious to them. On whatever level He has placed you, live within the economic parameters established and supplied by Him. Just having abundance is not a sign of God's blessings. Satan can easily duplicate any worldly riches. God's abundance is without sorrow and is for the purpose of bringing others to Christ. And establish a habit of giving. Along with the tithe, God desires that every Christian provide for the needs of others through the giving of offerings, gifts, and personal involvement. And we can establish priorities. Many Christians are discontented, not because they're not doing well, but because they're doing better, because others are doing better. Too often, Christians look at what they don't have and become dissatisfied and discontented rather than thanking God for what they do have and being content with what He has supplied. This is where my printer messed up and it got really tiny. It is remarkable that in America we could ever think that God has failed us materially. That attitude is possible only when we allow Satan to convince us to compare ourselves to others. The primary defense against this attitude is to praise God. Satan uses lavishness and waste to create a discontent and selfish ambition. Thankfulness is a state of mind, not an accumulation of assets. Until Christians can truly thank God for what they have and be willing to accept God's provisions, contentment will never be possible. So it's not what I have, it's what I allow God to bless me, that I've been blessed with. I have a few verses here that I want to look up in Luke. No, I can't find my scripture. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That strikes me. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It's so easy for me to want more, want bigger, want better. And I know that we want to have a deeper relationship with Jesus, and that's wanting more and better. And that's good. But if it's possessions, it's not going to last. Luke 16:13-14. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. I can't serve two masters. I can serve one God. And that's what I want to do. When I read that contentment is not something I can find, it's an attitude. It's something that I can, that I have to work on. I have to alter my attitude. I have some little children. And this morning I had to help one of them understand that his attitude wasn't correct. Wasn't easy. He didn't find it very pleasant. And I wonder if that's sometimes my problem too. That God needs to alter my attitude. And that's not always easy. Contentment is not something that is found. Contentment is an attitude. I don't know what is going right in your life right now. I don't know what is not right. I know that God created us, and God's got this. Terry Meyer said that God's got this. God's in control, and he's not even nervous. He sees it all. The little song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, to trust and obey. It's not easy to trust. I came through a week when I didn't know what I was going to do. And I understand that the loss of a loved one or the loss of a relationship is worse. It hurts on a different level. I was going to play that song again that we tried to play, so I won't do that. I do have one verse that I want to leave with you, and we'll pray. And Micah 6:8. No, I can't find Micah. Where'd it go? Turn right to it the first time. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. That has become something that I focused on. To do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with my God. I'm not a preacher, and I don't know how to fill up 45 minutes, so I didn't. Some wise man said nobody ever gets mad with a short sermon, so it's a short one this morning. That's all I have to share. I hope that God can work in your heart, in my heart, and help us to be content with what we have, but to serve God, to strive for kindness, and to walk humbly with him. Danny, you said you wanted to close. I can give it to you now, and then you can